know, there's not a lot of Scary Circus Clown songs you can draw from when the topic comes up. Thank you, Griffin, for finding one at least. 312-981-7200 is the number. Matt Bubala in for John Williams here on 720 WGN. Happy Saturday afternoon, everybody. It is gorgeous outside, a little bit crisp, maybe here in downtown Chicago, but Michigan Avenue is full of people walking and enjoying our beautiful city. Thank you very much for saying hi as you walk by. Again, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to call and chat this afternoon. As I said, coming up at 1:30, we'll chat with Phil Rogers from MLB.com. You remember Phil was the national baseball writer for the Chicago Tribune for many years. He's covering the Cubs and Giants. We'll talk to him about last night as well as get a little preview of tonight. That's the good news. After 2 o'clock, though, I'm sorry, I do want to talk about it. I understand if you don't, but there is no greater issue in America right now than who will be our leader come November 8th. A lot is riding on that, I think, for both sides. And I do want to talk a little more about who you're voting for and if anything can change your mind now. And I want to understand, because I have some friends who've said they will vote for Trump, and it's issues-based. And nobody has said, yeah, I really like the guy. Nobody I've heard from says, oh, I really like the guy. But there are certain issues that people are conservative about and not on the liberal side. So they're Republican versus Democrat, and they believe those issues are strong enough that they're going to vote that party no matter what. And I understand that. And I understand if you are an issue voter and there's one particular issue you really want to change, say it's the abortion issue, and you feel that there are Supreme Court justices coming up and you really want to see a change in that, I can understand where it'd be hard for you to vote for the Democratic Party for this election. But if ever there was an election where it's so polarizing, oh my goodness, we'll get into it after two. We're not going to do it right now. I do want to chat for a moment or two about this. What is with this clown situation? Bob, have you, I swear this started a couple of years ago over in England. I remember seeing it on social media, a guy taking pictures. It was like some small English town where these pictures kept showing up of a guy by a lamppost in the middle of the night in the dark holding a balloon, different things like that, and it creeped people out. And then you'd hear about it in a different town, And now suddenly we're so wrapped up in this goofy, scary clown thing that these three things I know of have happened this week. One, an alderman in Chicago is proposing having kids stop trick-or-treating earlier at night this year. Two, out where I live, and I think where many other people live, District 300 out by where I live, a friend of mine sent the email that they sent home to the parents warning them about what's going on with the whole clown situation, what they're doing about it, and the possibility of threats and things like that. Three, there was a kid arrested at UIC this week because he came off as a creepy clown. He was an art student.
What law was he breaking?
Well, here's the, so DNAinfo.com had a great story about this. So this guy was an art student. It's his senior year. For his midterm, he was doing a sort of live art project, okay? So he dressed up as a character from a Salvador Dali painting. This is a character that's in the background of a painting. It's a woman in a dress who has, instead of a face, like a mask of flowers. So this guy, I think his name is Oscar Chavez, he dressed up. He altered it a little bit. He did that mask of flowers, and he had this huge blue suit. It sort of looked like, Bob, the suit that the lead singer of the Talking Heads wore in that famous Talking Heads, you know, the ginormous
sure.
suit.
Oh, yeah.
But it was blue. It was baby blue. So he's got this giant suit on. He's got this mask full of flowers. He, for whatever reason, paints his hands bright pink, and then he's wearing these metallic-y silver shoes. And his little live art installation was he went from classroom to classroom, because he's a senior, he wanted to go back to all of his classrooms on campus, and he would cut off a little piece of the suit and leave it behind. He was shedding his skin. It's beautiful art.
Probably, even if you're not doing it for art, why can't you just walk around dressed as a clown?
You can, except when you're leaving pieces of suit behind, you carry around a huge pair of scissors. So he's carrying around this big pair of scissors with a mask and a big bright blue suit and pink hands and silver shoes, and some people were like, dude, there's one of these creepy clowns on our campus. And so people started calling about it, and so they called the UIC police. Like, I think we got one of these creepy clowns here on campus walking around with, it got twisted to a knife. So next thing you know, Oscar's leaving one of the school buildings, and UIC police roll up with guns drawn, and they arrest him. They sit him down, they handcuff him, they try to figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, all these other students are walking by, seeing this dude in this weird mask, getting arrested by the police with guns drawn. So they're snapping photos and posting it on social media. So the whole goofy thing has gotten out of hand. And I'm pretty sure there hasn't been one report of any creepy clown actually doing anything in Chicago since John Wayne Gacy. I don't know that for sure, but nothing recently, right? We haven't heard about that. It's just a bunch of people scaring each other. What I'm worried is going to happen, because I do think it's cool and creepy if somebody's just standing outside with a balloon in some creepy clown mask. I love how scary that is as somebody who likes, you know, being scared and scaring people. I'm worried about this now because I think what's going to happen is somebody who, like-minded like me, thinks this will be fun to scare people. Let's dress up as a clown and just stand outside somebody's house. Somebody's going to get shot or beaten with a baseball bat by somebody because they're going to freak out.
Yeah, the past couple of years have changed the way that you'll look at this story, you know, because police violence is like, you know, a flashpoint in our country now. Yeah. The way it wasn't when you're talking about that English
countryside little town
clown in like 2013, I was just looking at the old photos of him and laughing.
Yeah.
And I remember when that was happening, Nick DiGilio especially was obsessed with that guy. I remember he posted about it constantly, like loved it.
Yes, yes.
Why wouldn't you? It was really funny. But
it's great. The way the
past couple of years have unfolded changed the way you think about someone like, you know, instigating something like this. But are they instigating? It's hard to, you know, it's weird.
Well, somebody just texted from 630 that scaring people is enough to get charged with disorderly conduct. Now, that's interesting because, yeah, if I'm an unsuspecting people, I jump out and I scream. Maybe that is. But if I'm just standing there with a balloon, I'm sorry. I have a First Amendment right to be a scary clown if I want to be a scary clown.
You have a right to be a clown.
I think so. Absolutely.
Well, social media is what's fueling this, too.
It is.
Most people do it because they hope to get some kind of attention on social
media.
Well,
and it's not just people taking pictures now. Now there's people creating social media accounts, threatening kids. That's happened, I want to say, in Northwest Indiana, where there's somebody posting, like, on Twitter or Facebook, kids that go to this high school, if you go through these woods at 3:40 in the afternoon, I will kill you, and, like, weird stuff like that. So people are now taking it to the next level. And I was speaking with John Williams actually yesterday for a while, and he was saying that up in Minnesota, I think there's a clown union that's fighting back, and they're very upset about the portrayal, and they don't want these people called clowns. They said, these are not clowns. These are people dressing as clowns. They're not actually clowns.
Right, they're not clowning.
They're not clowning. It's like, I'm sorry, clowns. I feel for you. We're not going to go along with you on that one. We're not going to get all politically correct and make sure we change everything to somebody who was dressing as a clown but not an actual clown. We're not doing that. It's a creepy
human.
Clown. Yeah, it's a clown. It's, you know what, you put it on, you're a clown. Now they're scary clowns. They're never that. What I want to do is get six people dressed up as happy clowns and then go like with protests. Let's organize a protest.
Some people find clowns, whether their intent is happy or not, to be scary.
Very scary. Yes, absolutely.
Kramer
is one. Yes, that's the best scene in all of Seinfeld, I think, is when he's trying to sell the opera ticket and Joe DiVola comes up as Pagliacci and Kramer sort of freaks out and he says, what's wrong? He's like, well, as a kid, I was scared of clowns. Are you still scared now? Yeah. That's the best part of the whole series right there, I think. But are you thinking about this at all? I haven't. And most neighborhoods, they make trick-or-treating be early enough that the kids are generally back before dark. Only the nasty teenagers still go out ringing doorbells after dark, and they never wear any costumes. They never even wear costumes.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we would go to the first houses when it was still kind of getting dark, but that wasn't the fun part. The fun was when it was dark.
Yeah.
Why?
They don't want you on the streets then, though. They want you off the streets by then. Bob, what's your rule? If a kid shows up with no costume on, 14-year-old kid, total teenager, no costume, just some, you know, pillowcase. Says trick or treat.
They have to tell me a joke or sing a song or
really?
Something.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You'll pull that. You don't have a costume on. Treat me in some way.
Yeah. I'm not just going to give you candy.
You're not worried you'll get egged?
You earn it through creativity. Costuming is creative, and so they have to earn it through creativity some other way.
You don't
if
think
it's not costuming.
Bob, you're the house that's going to end up with eggs all over it is what I fear for you.
Well, it's an apartment building, so
you don't care.
It's gonna be a problem.
That's why I paid my association fees. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you can talk tough while the rest of us have to deal with the aftermath.
You know, where I live, I haven't done this in a while. The kids don't usually come up to the walk in my place. It's a courtyard building. So one year I brought out, I sat along the sidewalk and I had candy and me and my neighbor and we would hand out the candy and I dressed as a cowboy and my dog was my horse.
Well, you were Woody and...
Yeah, or just a cowboy. And the dog, they're like, well, what's... And the dog was a greyhound, you know, he's my horse, sort of. And it was like, that was it. It was fun. Maybe I'll do that again this year. I don't have the dog anymore, but...
312-981-7200. If you're changing anything, and do you think should somebody, how much should be stepped up? I know I was hearing or reading about in one town where people were calling about a guy standing around doing this, and the police were like, okay, we talked to him. He's a clown, or he's pretending to be a clown, whatever. He's clowning, and he's standing there scaring people, but he's not doing anything. He's just standing there, and he is an American. In this country, he has a right to stand there and be a clown or walk around as a clown if he wants. You can't just necessarily stop somebody from doing that. Should they be? I don't think so. I mean, hopefully we just kind of ride this wave and it wears off and nothing happens. But I'm very worried that something bad is going to happen this Halloween to somebody being the goofball wanting to scare people. For years, I've wanted to. We have these two little white chairs that sit on our porch. They're old chairs. And for the last 3 years, and I never get around to it, I keep talking to Colleen about I want to dress up a couple. You remember when we were kids, we'd stuff a shirt with leaves some old jeans. We'd make like a scarecrow or something. So I want to put two of those on the chairs for most of October. So everybody sees them all month long. And then the night of Halloween, I want to get into one of them and just sit there till the kids come up and then jump up and scare them.
I love it.
And then videotape all that. And I think that would be great. Except now I'm worried that somebody's going to then stab me
they're
or
gonna,
shoot
They're going to put you in the clown. Well, that's, you know, that's not... That's legit. That has happened before. Things like that have happened.
I've seen a video of somebody doing that exact thing, and the dude he scares just throws a haymaker and knocks him right out.
Right. So
that
be
could
ready
happen.
For a...
Yeah, that could happen.
What's a... Is a haymaker, is that a word
That's
for a punch?
That's a nice, wound-up, big punch.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Al Secord used to throw big haymakers in the dare. Bob Probert. Something
you're really
you might
reviving
hear.
The 1930s talk this afternoon.
That was in the 80s. Come on. All right. 312-981-7200. Quick break. It's the John Williams Show on 720 WGN.
Yourself a clown and not know who Bozo is.
Hey, man, what are you hassling me for? This is just a gig. It's not my life. I don't know who Bozo is. What, is he a clown?
What, is he a clown? What, are you kidding me?
Well, what is he?
Yes, he's a clown.
All right, so what's the big deal? There's millions of clowns.
All right, just forget it.
Forget me? You should forget it. You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown
from the 60s, man.
All right, Griffey, for extra bonus points, tell me who was playing the clown in that episode of Seinfeld.
Jon Favreau.
Very good. That was Jon Favreau as Eric the Clown. Eric, kind of name is that for a clown? 312-981-7200 is the number. Matt Bubala in for John Williams here on 720 WGN. Coming up after the news, we're going to speak with Phil Rogers from MLB.com. Talk about that game last night. One pitch is a one-pitch game. It could have gone the other way so easily, but the Cubs, and I got to tell you, Jake Arrieta not pitching to game three. Looks like this is going to be the smart move because they'll go up against Bumgarner, and Kyle Hendricks has such a great home record. But if they had lost that game last night, wouldn't you be going, I really want Arrieta on the mound? I know Hendricks had a better year, but come playoff time, boy, I want Arrieta out there. Turned out good for him last night, though. What a game.
You thinking Cubs in three?
No. No, I am not.
Maybe just give the Giants a chance.
I don't think it's giving them a chance. I think they're no. It's a very good ball club who could turn things around quickly, and you just never know what's going to happen. I don't, you know, nothing is guaranteed in a short series. They win one tonight, they then have two home games, and we have one more home game, and you know somebody's got to win two out of three. So you never know what's going to happen. I certainly like the Cubs' chances. I'd like a little more offense. I don't like the 1-0 game. I like the theory of a 1-0 game. But I like to see the Cubs putting runs on
the
board.
That's one of the things I like about baseball is it can be down to just very small.
It can be. It can be. But it's so stressful when it's your team. I think if you're watching another series, then it's wow, what beautiful
distance from it.
Beautiful play and the pitching. I love it. It's great. When it's your team and you're dying because you want it to go your way, very tough to watch a 1-0 game. Talk to Phil after the news next on 720 WGN. Say one of the happiest things for me. I love seeing the Cubs win. I love I loved watching the game last night. I love seeing Javi Baez get interviewed and hearing loudly in the background, you can hear it all on WGN. Even though you can't anymore, Chicago Cubs will always be in the DNA of this radio station, as we like to say. And we love talking about our Cubbies. Joining us on the phone right now is MLB.com writer Phil Rogers. Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Yeah, my wife was at the game in the stands last night while I was working the game. And I can assure you, she likes to sing the song. She does not want to go home without having sung the song and sung all about WGN.
It's a bit disappointing to leave without getting to see the song and see the flag raised after they take down all the pennants. So it's a beautiful way to end a night. So much to talk about with last night. I just have a list of things I want to bring up to you and let you go off on. So David Ross is in his final season. It's been such a, you know, we see guys like Derek Jeter or David Ortiz get, you know, serenaded everywhere they go. Even Vin Scully at every last stop, he got some thing. David Ross isn't one of those players, right? He's not destined for the Hall of Fame. He's an everyman, and he grounded out, and he had a great career, got to his 100 home runs this year, and he's got gray hair, and he's balding, and he's a guy that just loves playing the game. And what a great way for him to be able to go out this year, having a good regular season, and then throwing out two guys last night in this game. I mean, and then almost taking one out too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he is, it's a little bit of a polarizing factor with some people because he's only been with the Cubs a couple of years, and he's getting this great send-off and all the Grandpa Rossi stuff. I mean, I know people who are turned off by that and kind of who make the point of, why the big deal?
Yeah.
But what I counter with, he gets that because Rizzo and Brian have kind of granted him that status, and as popular as they are, plays off of that. But the point that I look at him, I'm not sure everybody sees just what a good player he has been for the Cubs. And he is a guy you have to watch on a regular basis to really appreciate because he's not Buster Posey. He's not an all-star that's going to put up big stats. But I go the 2013 World Series, which was Red Sox-Cardinals, and a very good series. I don't think the Red Sox win that World Series if they don't switch midway through from catcher and basically sit Jared Saltalamacchia in the last three games and catch David Ross. He's just very solid. And, you know, he is, people compare he and Miguel Montero. You know, I think Miguel Montero scares me for wild pitches, balls going to the screen. I don't think he moves as well. And Ross doesn't look like a guy that would really move that well. But he blocks the balls, and, he still has an accurate average arm strength, but you know, he's quick release. We saw it twice last night, and he's having a very good year as a hitter. I think his OPS this season was about 780, and anything 800 and above, you're basically pushing all-star level. So
yeah.
He's been really valuable. I think he will be missed next year. We have to take him at his word that he is going to quit. I think catching takes a toll on guys, and I think it's all about concussions. He was on that concussion disabled list 2 years ago in 2015, last year. And, I think for kind of like an NFL player who's had a nice career, at some point you feel like you're pushing your luck long term, and I kind of think that's where David Ross is. But he could definitely continue playing, and, John Lester's going to miss him badly, but I don't think that's the only reason that the Cubs will miss having him around.
You know, I was curious last night. So they pinch hit for Ross, I think, in the eighth, and then they bring in Wilson Contreras. And I was curious, so is that the reason with Chapman coming in you need a more agile catcher because Montero's having trouble catching Chapman's fastballs, especially those rising ones from last night?
I think you saw when Chris Coughlin came in the on-deck circle to hit for Ross. I told you Lester's done after eight innings. He's not going to talk his way back. And that was before Baez had hit the home run.
Right.
So, you didn't necessarily know that, it looked like he was going to bring Chapman into a tie game, turned into a save situation. I think Contreras is, I call him Spidey because he's like Spider-Man. He's like, he's like a such a quick, fast twitch guy. If you look at him, his head's always on a swivel, and it looks like he just can't wait to have a chance to throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I think he definitely is, of the three catchers, he's the best defensive catcher, and he's the guy that would do the best to shut down the running game. And, you know, I haven't looked at a breakdown of all those catchers with Chapman, but, yeah, clearly, you know, I think he's the guy that they think can block a 102-mile-an-hour pitch that's outside, yeah, or, you know, just kind of think along best with Aroldis Chapman.
Phil, I don't know if you saw the replay last night, but when they were showing it on TV, they showed Maddon going to talk to John Lester that inning, and he came up and said something to him, then started walking away, and Lester said something. Joe came back and was kind of patting him on the chest. And I was wondering, is Lester going to put up a bigger fight here? And I wonder if Joe Maddon was saying, listen, I'm not Buck Showalter. We're just going right to Chapman right now.
Yeah, I mean, they both talked about that after the game. And Lester said, you know, of course I don't want to come out of the game, and I'm going to argue to stay in the game. That's what I do. He said, but I knew that I was coming out of the game. He said, you know, we got a guy that throws 104 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that Chapman had that inning. But, you know, he wasn't happy about it. You know, certainly he probably got a little happier after the Baez's home run. When,
yeah,
now he's got to, you know, he's going to be the winning pitcher instead of throwing 8 shutout innings and getting a no decision.
Yeah.
In that great battle with Cueto. So, you know, I think the Baez homer helped his happiness level a little bit too, but that's, you know, that's the competitor in him, and Maddon knew he wouldn't be happy coming out either.
Sure. Well, and you don't want him to be, right? You want a guy that's a fiery competitor who's a Bumgarner. I mean, you know, I was wondering if the Giants were going to pull Bumgarner the other night, and I thought, boy, is this going to be fireworks if they pull Bumgarner from this game, because he would have freaked out, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then, you know, I mean, the flip side of that is the Baez homer was on the 108th pitch from Cueto.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that, you know, the Giants' bullpen isn't as strong as it has been in other years. Maybe they go get him. But, you know, that game, I believe the Cubs had 3 base runners in the entire game, 3
yeah,
hits, no walks. So there's, you know, it's hard to second guess.
Yeah.
Bochy for sticking with Cueto, and then, you know, he stayed in the game after the home run and seemed fine. So, you know, I don't think he was pushed too far. You know, you just had a ball that just barely snuck into the basket, and
yeah,
you know, it was just a great game all around. And, you know, I don't know that you could really second guess anything any of the managers. You know,
right.
Buster Posey took a bit of a beating for only going first to third on the ball that went past Chris Coghlan. I'm not really sure he deserved that, because,
mm-hmm,
you know, if the ball doesn't get past Coghlan, there's no way he's going first to third.
Right.
So when he's running the bases, it seems normal to me that he's going to slow up a little bit going into second base when he thinks the ball's staying in front of Coghlan. And then when it got away from him, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, there was some going around the internet, at least. I don't know if it got brought up on the telecast, but I question of, did he, Buster Posey, not know how many outs there were? Or, you know, I thought that was pretty unfair criticism to him.
Interesting. Well, let's jump back to Cueto. He tends to struggle. I mean, I know with the Royals last year, he struggled a little bit in the regular season, then came up huge in the postseason. Now here he comes up again. I wanted the Giants because I just didn't want the Cubs to face the Mets again. And now with Bumgarner and Cueto, thank God the Cubs got through this game one, because I think, and I wonder, Phil, I was questioning Arrieta not going till game three. I know Kyle Hendricks has this incredible home record, led the league in ERA, but Arrieta seems like a playoff-type pitcher to me who will come up big there. And if the Cubs – that was a one-pitch game last night. It was that close, really, right? It could have gone the other way very easily. Buster's hit off Chapman in the ninth could have gone out instead. And Baez's almost was caught, despite how Javi thought that was going to be on Waveland Avenue. So that's a really close game. If the Cubs had lost that game last night, do you think we'd be questioning Hendricks being the number two starter?
No, I don't think so, because you look at – how Arrieta has pitched. I mean, really, I think you can go back his last 15 or 16 starts, and he has an ERA of about 4. He hasn't been the guy he was, you know, for most of 2015 and the first 6 weeks or so of this season. And, you know, Hendricks has just been locked in. And like Lester, Hendricks and Lester both pitched better in the late in the year than they did early in the year. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, I could have seen it in any way. It was set up. If you go back 2 or 3 weeks, Lackey was the guy that was set up to be the game two guy. And I could have seen that because he has the track record, and he's actually, even though he was on a disabled list for a little bit in August, if you go back and look start for start, he's pitched very well in the last 2 months, both before and after he was on the DL. I almost think he could have just pulled the names out of a hat. And if you look at who deserved it, Hendricks deserved it. And, you know, I don't know if they thought about this, but I mean, you know, Arrieta has been tough on the road. And, you know, Madden said he did think about that. But you go back to that Garrett Cole matchup in the wild card game in Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah.
He produced the results. And, you know, you knew Bumgarner was going to go in game three. If it wasn't Bumgarner, it was going to be Syndergaard in game three because they had to get past that wild card game.
Right.
So this kind of matches Arrieta head-to-head with, you know, the toughest starter of the other team, and he has succeeded in that role in the past. But I almost think it was a trick bag that, you know, any way you line them up, you're subject to second guess because there's really no clear way to do it. And, you know, Kyle Hendricks last year in the playoffs wasn't terrible. He pitched okay. He was on this real short leash with Joe Madden that he's outgrown this year, and he's no longer on it. This will be an interesting start for him. It'll be a test, but you know, I don't know why people should not expect him to go out and pitch well this game the same way he's been pitching in the regular season. And you know, I think against Jeff Samardzija, the Cubs have their best shot to you know, get the bats going that they did not do last night.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. Chapman, I know the Cubs had about a week off, but Aroldis threw almost, I think, 30 pitches last night. Do you think he's still available tonight no matter what?
I do, yeah. These guys are they got the exact amount of work that they and the Cubs coaches felt they needed to be sharp and ready, and you're going to be off after this game. I think Chapman could probably go a couple innings if he had to, you probably want to get another reliever or two some experience and get guys back there so there's not quite as much rust as they pitch, later on. If they didn't get in this game, you know, I think it's probably important to get a positive result out of Hector Rondon, Carl Edwards Jr., somebody else in that bullpen tonight is what I would look. But then if there's a save situation, it's definitely going to be on Chapman.
Jason Hayward, still struggling. Soler had such a great playoff last year. At what point do you think you possibly see Soler getting a start over Jason Hayward, or will that not happen unless the Cubs are losing and the offense is sputtering?
Well, you know, versus Bumgarner, I don't know that would be a great Jason Hayward matchup. So I've kind of had in my mind that there's no guarantee that Hayward's going to be in the lineup when they go against left-handed pitchers. And now the Giants will pitch lefties in games 3 and 4. I would kind of be surprised if Hayward starts both of those games.
Okay.
You know, Madden does like to involve a lot of guys, and you know, it probably would, you know, if Soler is healthy, and he must be because they put him on the roster, I could see Soler in one of those games. And Arrieta, you know, is maybe a good guy to put him in there because he's going to get some strikeouts, although that rate has been down. But, yeah, I would look for maybe a change in, you know, I mean, the lineup changes every day, so it's,
yeah.
it's not a big statement to say look for some change in the lineup. But I do think, and Hayward last night, those were three feeble at bats that he had. Didn't get the ball out of the infield, didn't hit the ball hard. Made some contact, but it was pop up, ground out to the pitcher. I could definitely see them try to get another bat in against Madison Bumgarner.
All right, final question, Phil. Javi Baez's home run last night. Buster Posey made a comment in one of the interviews after the game that when Buster hit his ball off Chapman, he thought it was out. Mm-hmm. And he made a subtle comment about, and Javi didn't hit the ball nearly as hard as he thought based on the way he reacted to it. Baez, when I watched it, I love his enthusiasm. I love how fired up he is. But he was about a hair away from a Bautista bat flip on that hit. And I thought, dude, come on. Let's not. And then the ball barely makes it out because of the wind. But what do you think about that? Do they need to tone that down at all? Or is that it's the playoffs and people are going to play and just let it go?
Yeah, I that was a big moment. And it did go out. You know, the one thing with Baez, he hits the ball incredibly high. His home runs aren't line drives into the bleachers often. I mean, he really lost them, you know, more so than a Chris Bryant, more so than Rizzo. Mm-hmm. I do think that ball was really impacted by the wind, much, much more so than the Buster Posey ball. So, I don't know. I mean, it would have been embarrassing if it was caught.
Yes, it would have.
But he was spared by the baseball gods from that. Not by a lot. But, you know, I mean, he's an emotional guy, and that was certainly a very emotional moment. So I'm not going to report him to the fun police.
Not just yet. Follow Phil at MLB.com on Twitter at Phil G. Rogers. You're going to be out there tonight, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We look forward to see. I know you didn't post till about 2:15 in the morning last night. We'll see how late it is tonight. At least you get an hour earlier start. Maybe you'll get some sleep tonight, Phil.
Yeah, maybe. But I just hope we get another good game. That'd be great.
That would be great. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Right.
Phil Rogers from MLB.com. You can read him there and follow him on Twitter. Always a great follow on Twitter. Matt Bubala in for John Williams on 720 WGN. I had to leave. I was coaching my girls' fifth grade volleyball team. My daughter's on the fifth grade volleyball team I had to coach this year, even though I have absolutely no volleyball experience. They're in the St. Peter and Paul tournament up in Cary. I had to leave as we were headed into the second, third seeding round. We lost that, but so far we're ahead in the consolation game. So good girls. Keep going.
They're
going
to play without a coach, though?
No. The assistant coach has taken over.
Okay.
She's a good luck charm. And she actually knows volleyball, so it's a win-win for everybody, really.
You're like, hit it over the net.
Yes. You know, we worked mostly on our chanting this week, and these other teams have very elaborate chants before the game starts. We're just like a 1-2-3 Spartans. And so we're trying to figure out, because girls are like, they're doing a side-to-side dancing, they're like dabbing, there are all sorts of craziness going on these other teams, and we look kind of lame.
Yeah, 1-2-3 Spartans might get a little old.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when a dad is the coach.
Four, five, six Spartans.
We need women as coaches. We need the. So a mom who's a choreographer is going to take over a practice this week, and they're going to work out something really fancy. We're going to blow people away. We may not win the tournaments, but we're going to win the cheer before the game. News is next on 720 WGN. I feel like we're about to play the dating game or something, or Hollywood Squares. Matt Bubala in for John Williams here at 720 WGN. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in the Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile, and it is very, very magnificent today. Lots of people out and enjoying the beautiful, crisp autumn weather and avoiding talking about our presidential politics. I'm sorry, but I can't avoid it. And I know there are a lot of you that are sick of it or trying to avoid it, but you have to hear it. You have to hear it to believe it. I honestly feel that, and I've said all along, nothing is going to derail the people that are supporting Donald Trump. If you're supporting Donald Trump, you're with him till the end. And I think conversely, if you're supporting Hillary Clinton, you're with her till the end. And I know a lot of people who are supporting Donald Trump, and I've tried to talk to them and ask, okay, explain to me why you are so anti-Hillary. And some people are anti-Hillary because of Hillary, but others are because, I have a friend who's a businessman. He said, I don't want the government so involved in everything. It's stifling to business. It's stifling to a lot of things. So he wants conservative people in office, choosing the Supreme Court, running the country. He doesn't necessarily want Donald Trump doing that, but that's his choice right now. That's who he has to vote for if he wants those things. I know that the pro-life and pro-choice movement are very big and very deeply seated. And if you want the Supreme Court nominee put forth who you think might help change the laws to the way you like or keep the law the same, you've got one vote or another. So for a lot of people, it does come down to maybe not liking the person, but those are the policies that they want enacted. So I think it's very tough for you it's very tough to defend voting for Donald Trump. It's not as tough to defend what you want to see change in America or what you want to see done. He's made it very difficult for you if that's the side you want to vote on, that's for sure. So the latest scandal is a decade old. And I don't know if that means it's not fair or not, but I think that when we talk about any presidential candidate, we go back very deeply and they dig back forever. And unfortunately for Donald Trump, he's been famous for a long time and said a lot of things that have been used against him a ton. I mean, all of these terrible comments about women from the Howard Stern show and other things. You see some of these commercials that are on the TV right now that Hillary Clinton or super PACs for her are running. I mean, they show Donald Trump very young in some of them. There's video from like 30 years ago where he's talking about being a chauvinist. And when I get home, if dinner's not made, I explode and things like that. So there's a ton of stuff to damage him. It hasn't seemed to have damaged him that much so far. But then this audio leaked of him talking to Billy Bush, who's a relative of the Bushes. And he was the host at the time of Access Hollywood. He's now part of the Today Show. And his co-host was Nancy O'Dell. And Donald Trump and Billy Bush are talking about, they're on a bus headed to, this is something where Access Hollywood is following him. I think it's Access Hollywood, unless it was Entertainment Tonight. It's one of those goofy and newsertainment shows. And they're on a bus about to arrive at the set of, I think, Days of Our Lives, where Trump's doing a guest appearance for the day. They're already mic'd up. And even though they're not being filmed, the cameras are rolling where they're going to pull up. And so the audio is being picked up. And Trump and Billy Bush are having what some wanted to say is just frat boy talk about women. And if it wasn't a guy running for, you know what, honestly, if this was the CEO of Coca-Cola or McDonald's or some big Fortune 500 company, I think there would be enough pressure on them after this to resign. I can't imagine a CEO keeping their job if this tape leaked. Here's the audio that we have that was leaked to the Washington Post, right?
Yeah, and let me just say before we play it, you know, I cleaned it up a little bit.
You had to edit it because there are some words.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because the story is the words, you know?
Yeah.
And so you don't really get a sense of what the full scope of the story. I mean, I can't imagine people not having heard it by now.
Well, and I'll make it clear to you afterwards. I'm not going to say the word
but
I'll let you know.
But it's worth noting before we play it that...
we had to clean this up for broadcast standards.
Of course, yeah.
Go ahead.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it. She was married.
It's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was... And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the... I can do anything.
So the part that Griffin edited there was he says, grab them by the... And then you just hear Billy Bush laughing. He says the P word for the female anatomy. He says it clear as day.
But by the way, I mean, I also edited a lot before then as well, like when he's discussing that relationship pursuing.
So there's almost two separate conversations here. The first part of that was him talking to Billy Bush about him hitting on what has been confirmed to be Nancy O'Dell, who was Billy Bush's co-host. And she was, I think she knew Trump from the Miss America pageant or one of the pageants that he owned or ran or whatever. And he was talking about how he hit on her and how he tried to get with her, but I failed. And she was married, but I failed. And I took her out furniture shopping. And then he goes on to describe how she has changed and how she has gotten fake enhancements and changed her whole look. And he talks pretty derogatory about her. So that's one thing, talking about hitting on a married woman and then criticizing her appearance. There was that. Then he moves on to how they're pulling up. Now they're pulling up and they see the woman who's waiting to meet them for this shot because I think the woman he's co-starring with for the day on the soap is out there waiting for him. And, of course, it's a beautiful actress. And he starts commenting, oh, I better take some Tic Tacs because I might just start kissing her. I'm just so attracted. And then makes the comment that, you know, when you're a star, you know, I just start kissing them. I just can't help myself. And they don't stop you. It's great. When you're a star, you can do whatever you want. You can grab them by the blank. He actually says those words. And Billy Bush laughs like a 12-year-old on a Beavis and Butthead cartoon. Separate issue with Billy Bush. But Trump says this. He just says it. Yeah, you can do that, whatever you want. And then they get off the bus. And then the video is rolling. And it's crazy because they say hello to this woman. And then Billy Bush goes, hey, no hug for the Donald who came all this way and, like, gets her to hug him. Like, he's his
wingman.
Yes, he's his wingman. He's a creep. But here's the guy who is in most polls within percentage points of becoming the next leader of our country, who commented that as a star, when he meets women, he can do whatever he wants. He can grab them by the blank. And people are voting for him. And people are not changing their mind about voting for him based on this. Now, I understand there's issues that you want to vote for. I understand that there's things that you're worried about with this country that you don't think the Democratic Party will take care of to a satisfactory way. I totally get that, and I understand that. There's issues that you are worried about. But those issues still outweigh all of the things he has said, including casually joking about sexual assault. The person we might make president of the United States of America thought it was funny to joke about sexual assault. Now, you could say, oh, that he wasn't joking about sexual assault. He was just being a frat boy. The longer we keep writing off everything a 40-year-old guy jokes about as sexual assault as just a frat boy mentality means the longer our wives and daughters and women of America will face shame and a reluctance to come forward when they are assaulted. If we don't start changing this and saying, no, that's unacceptable and that's not frat boy behavior, that's something we can't tolerate. And now Aaron is going to make the comment, and I don't understand it, and I want to understand. Aaron, you're on 720 yes. WGN. So go ahead. And they just wrote it on the screen. Go ahead and say it.
I really think it's kind of ridiculous, the whole thing. I know every man has done that, and I've gone out with very exciting people.
Now, hold on, Aaron, one second. Wealthy. Hold on one second. I want to let you talk, but I want to ask you a question. You just said every man has done that, meaning what? Every man has done what?
To try to kiss a woman. What is the big deal with you with this?
He said he can get away with grabbing a woman by the blank, Aaron, and you're okay with that?
And you believe what he's really saying? How do you know it's true?
Does it matter?
Always,
does that matter, Aaron, whether he ever did that or not? Does it matter whether he ever did that or not?
It doesn't. There's more things important with this election. I look at last week's debate. I don't know if you paid attention, but someone I know that's a dealer in Las Vegas, she was doing hand signals to Lester Holt with rubbing her face.
Aaron, no, they
you
weren't.
All,
no,
you
they
see it
weren't.
All through, let me just say one thing. And after, listen,
I'm listening.
They're all coming forward, Trump and the Clintons, and you see this man on the right, a little guy, walk over, pick up her script. And he walks, and Lester Holt stands up, he gives Lester Holt the script, and they walk off together. It was all scripted. It's
yes.
ridiculous.
Yes. Okay, Aaron, thank you so much. I really appreciate the call. I'm sorry, Aaron. I can't listen to that. I can't. You're going to tell me the whole Republican Party, the whole Republican committee, all of the people Trump has there, everybody just watches that happen, and they don't have any idea that it was scripted and she had an earpiece and Lester Holt was trained to ask the right questions. Give me a break. The black helicopters are not circling over your house, guys. You can tell me Hillary Clinton sucks, Hillary Clinton's a traitor, Hillary Clinton should be prosecuted. Tell me all that you want. The Republicans have not put her away over 30 years of service. She's as dirty as any politician there's ever been. Fine, I'll accept that. But but she's as dirty as George W. was and George H.W. was and Bill Clinton was. Maybe not Jimmy Carter. Probably not Jimmy Carter. But, I mean, she's a career politician, as corrupt as all of them are, as corrupt as we've gotten used to. This is different. And don't give me the Bill is no better crap. Maybe Bill isn't any better. I don't know. I don't have him on tape doing these things. I know he's had affairs. I know he's been a terrible person and a terrible husband. I also know if he was running, he'd be getting reelected. After he was impeached but then not convicted, he left. If he could have run for a third term, the polls showed at the time we would have reelected him. This is different. Sheila, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say we already know Trump's feelings for women, the way he speaks about them. This clip was nothing new.
Well, we know how he feels, but Sheila, it's new. Sheila, this is the first time he has ever described jokingly a sexual assault. That is new.
And it's, it's not an assault.
You're right. You're right. He doesn't think it's assault. You're right. He doesn't.
But we know that already. This is nothing new.
Oh, I don't know. Sheila, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. I don't know that this is nothing new. To me, this is brand new. To me, this is everyone who I was trying to understand your side on saying why you want to vote for Trump. This is where I can't even entertain it anymore.
And quite a few Republicans are saying that.
They are.
Mark Kirk, Illinois Senator, saying he should drop out.
Kirk is in the battle for his life. And as much as I want to appreciate that Kirk is doing that, I believe that's about the politics. Because he's been doing it all along. And then Trump's been mad at him about it and giving him a hard time about it. But Trump's, Kirk's fighting with Tammy Duckworth. He's in a very tough race. I don't know Mark Kirk. I don't know his heart. I believe that's politically motivated. But you're right. A lot of Republicans are doing that, are distancing themselves. 312-981-7200. We have to take a quick break. I want more of your comments. I want you to make me understand. Make me understand. And it's not Hillary had notes with Lester Holt. It's not that. Don't give me the black helicopter Rush Limbaugh crap. Give me real reasons why it still makes sense for us to put in office a man who will represent our country for 4 years, who jokes about sexual assault, who does all of the things he has done up until now. Tell me how that's possible that that makes sense. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is the number. Let's get back to the calls real quick. Nicole's on 720 WGN. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. And first, can I just say that it's a breath of fresh air hearing you talk and truly get distraught over the situation, as I am. I am a mother, and I have daughters. And when I first heard that this tape was going to be released, I thought, oh, what did this guy say now? He said something like just as a bigot or made some rude, crass comments about women, which I would not be surprised. But as you've pointed out, and I think a lot of people are not understanding, is what he said was not your typical guys talking about some hot chick and, they didn't know. He was describing A, what he had done in the past, and B, what he believes he is capable of doing because he was in a position of power. That, to me, is the most disturbing thing, is what he described is that of a sexual predator. And I can tell you, I personally had somebody harass me when I was 16 in my job place. I luckily went to the management. Through my life as a female working, I have had that happen in my job, in this day and age. I'm only 40 years old now. I've had these things happen. So when people say, oh, well, it's just this, and he just said this, and all men talk like that. No, not all men talk like that. It would be one thing if he was ogling this woman, but he was talking about harassing women physically.
All men,
it's so disturbing.
I'll go along with all men ogle women. All men have locker room talk. That's not locker room talk. I keep hearing that explained away as, that's frat boy talk. That's locker room talk. No, it is not. Corey Lewandowski, his former, a manager or advisor who got fired, he's a CNN speaker now, said, quote, he speaks from the heart. And this is in response to this. This is not old. This is in response to this. He speaks from the heart. He speaks the way many people speak around the dinner table. Bull. Nobody talks like this around the dinner table unless they're in prison. This is ridiculous. This is not the way human beings act, and don't write it off as that.
Thank you. Can I just say one more thing?
Real quick.
I have daughters. They're seven. They're twins. I'm going to have to teach them this kind of thing is going to happen to you. Not this might happen to you one day. At some point, I'm going to have to teach them this is going to happen. Somebody's going to touch you. Somebody's going to say something. This is what you need to do. And it's pathetic that in 2016, I'm thinking about having to teach my daughters that this will happen.
You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for the call, Nicole. And here's the thing is I saw on Twitter somebody started they started the hashtag blank grabber from the word he said. And then somebody wrote, tell us your first sexual assault. And all these women started responding with these creepy, disgusting things that men have done to them. I was astounded a year ago when the catcall video came out of the woman walking around New York and all the lewd things guys said to her. And we write it off. Oh, guys being guys. This is why Brock Turner gets 9 months probation instead of actual jail time. This is the culture we are fostering in America that this is not a big deal. This is a big deal. And I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I don't want her to have to face this and be and face the fact that that just happens, that guys are guys. It's ridiculous. Nicole is right. It's 2016. Let's grow up. All right, Mike, you've got something else. 312-981-7200. What do you want to say, Mike?
I want to tell you. When I hear men making disparaging remarks about Trump over this, mm-hmm. all I can think is, you are a hypocrite. Have you ever heard to told a dirty joke, or in your whole life, anytime you were around other men telling dirty jokes, did you tell them, naughty, naughty, little boy, don't tell dirty jokes?
So, Mike,
now men are ragging and ragging Trump.
Yeah. So you think that him joking about sexual assault is the same as a lewd joke? Do you tell a lot of jokes about sexual assault with your buddies, Mike? Because I never have.
Well, as I was saying, you were making disparaging remarks about people talking like I am, talking about, oh, you think about the black helicopters, huh?
Yes.
I want to remind you, there have been black helicopters flying around the city of Chicago. I can tell you exactly when.
Okay.
And they had soldiers hanging out the doors. They were Huey helicopters, and they had soldiers hanging out the doors pointing rifles at people in downtown Chicago, practicing to shoot people in downtown Chicago who were walking around.
Oh,
helicopters with soldiers. This happened about 2 or 3 weeks before the NATO meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was back in 2009 or 2010 or 2008, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
There were these big NATO meetings in Chicago, and 2 or 3 weeks before that, there were helicopters flying
around
downtown Chicago. With soldiers pointing rifles at people.
All right, Mike. All right, Mike. You said it. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Okay. I don't know if that happened or not. Let's say it did. So a big NATO meeting is coming to town with all the world leaders coming to town. And the helicopters are practicing in case crap goes really awry. I don't think they were practicing just taking out Americans. And I'm sorry, but if you're saying, hey, these are the type of jokes we tell when we're alone with the guys, then you got a problem and you need to see somebody. The John Williams Show on Radio 720 WGN. King John is off today. Matt Bubala filling in for John these 2 hours. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm normally on 2 to 5 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and I'd love for you to hang out with me then. You can follow me on Facebook at The Matt Bubala Show. Give us a like there. And give us your calls now, 312-981-7200. We're talking about the comments that Donald Trump made a decade ago. Give you that. On a mic he probably didn't know was on. But he had a mic on, so, you know, you kind of got to think about that. And he was making off-color comments about Nancy O'Dell, Billy Bush's co-star on Access Hollywood, who he said he had hit on and tried to get with but didn't, made lewd remarks about her, and then made lewd remarks about being a celebrity and what you can get away with, how we can go up and just start kissing women. He's like, it's crazy. You can get away with anything. You can walk up to him and grab their blank. And the P word for female anatomy is what he said. And Billy Bush laughed like a little boy. So I'm trying to find out why that is not enough to say, I don't want to vote for him. Now we've gotten calls about people defending and saying, hey, there's things that are worse. There's this or that, but I'm hearing a lot of conspiracy theory in it. are you out there? Do you say, no, I will still vote for him despite of what an awful human being he is because of these issues or because of the Supreme Court? Then I can understand a little bit. If you make an impassioned no, I understand there's these big issues about him, but the defense of this is, but there's bigger issues than this person. And these are our two choices. And I believe on that side, on the conservative side, is what I really want to put forth. And so that's why I'm still going to vote that way. Then I will understand, and I will, you know, give you some leeway on that. But I'm not hearing that. I'm just hearing how she's so awful and they're even worse. And that's an argument I have trouble understanding, especially when things like this are being said. Donald Trump did make a statement, a video statement. Griffey, do we have that handy? Can we play Donald Trump's video statement response to this?
I've never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. I've traveled the country talking about change for America, but my travels have also changed me. I've spent time with grieving mothers who've lost their children, laid-off workers whose jobs have gone to other countries, and people from all walks of life who just want a better future. I have gotten to know the great people of our country, and I've been humbled by the faith they placed in me. I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and will never, ever let you down. Let's be honest. We're living in the real world. This is nothing more than a distraction from the important issues we're facing today. We're losing our jobs. We're less safe than we were 8 years ago. And Washington is totally broken. Hillary Clinton and her kind have run our country into the ground. I've said some foolish things, but there's a big difference between the words and actions of other people. Bill Clinton has actually abused women, and Hillary has bullied, attacked, shamed, and intimidated his victims. We will discuss this more in the coming days. See you at the debate on Sunday.
Okay, so that was Donald Trump's, I guess, apology we're going to label that as. Although, more than decades old video, because as caller Matt, thank you, Matt, points out, he was 62 at the time. So what's the decades old mean? Have you grown since you were 62 and become more mature? You were freshly married at the time.
Just a kid. Then.
I don't know how that's a defense
it's
of anything.
The first time I've seen Trump do any kind of teleprompter type address.
He's done a few speeches like that. It's so different. You can tell how different it is when he's on when he's on teleprompter.
Different manner of speech. Yeah.
So Melania Trump released a statement.
Oh, Matt, I just wanted to break in. 59, yes. I believe he was 59. I don't know if it makes that much of a difference, but
well, he wasn't in his 60s yet, so you give him that. Melania Trump released a statement. The words my husband used are unacceptable and offensive to me. This does not represent the man that I know. He has the heart and mind of a leader. I hope people will accept his apology as I have and focus on the important issues facing our nation and the world. Now, he says it's a distraction from the important issues. Melania says focus on the important issues facing our nation and the world. And I do think it's an important issue. That's the problem with this is our rape culture and the flippant way that he jokes about that is a problem facing our nation. It truly is, in my mind. It is a problem facing our nation. If we're just going to, it's a distraction, there's nothing. And Bill and Hillary do much worse than that. I'm sorry, you can't just play it off as that. Give a real apology, not a, if you're offended by this apology. Give a real apology and embrace that, you know, this is an issue, and I was part of the problem, and I'm sorry for that, and I need to be better. And we as Americans need to be better. Own the issue then, Trump, if you want to do something with this. Do something better than just deflecting it back. Own something here. Take responsibility and actually own it and make a change. And then you can change this maybe to something positive. But that's not what he's doing. Susan's on 720 WGN. Hello, Susan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being on the phone. What did you want to say?
Oh, my God. So now my blood is boiling even more. You just played that. First, I just wanted to say I love you. We actually played together on Ruse or News once, and you won me and my pillow.
Yay!
Right? Yay. Thank you. I love my pillow. Ding, ding, ding. Anyway, back to this. So what you just said about his tape, he's not really owning anything. What he is owning is just words. He's playing it off, and he's sort of giving us a teaser that the thing that's coming up, the debate, is going to be a schoolyard fight.
That did sound like that's when he said, we'll talk about this more in the coming days, Meaning, yeah. Well, Sunday night's the debate. Is this just going to be a drag-out knuckle fight now that he's just going to – he knows what's coming at him, so he'll get on the attack right away?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be fascinating tomorrow night. It's a train wreck. It's a car crash and a train wreck and a Zeppelin flying into the tower all at once.
And that's horrible. But anyway, back to the other thing. So I'm thinking that we're not going to find a whole lot of people that are going to be able to call in and do what you need them to do today because of his issues.
I think those people are out there though, Susan, and I understand. And I've talked to some of them, friends of mine, people I know who say they're voting for Trump, and if I ask why, I understand that there are issues that why you would say, yeah, but I'm still going to vote for him because of the party. And I think that that's what these leaders that are stepping away from him and just condemning him and are glad they're doing it. But what they need to say is, but we still want you to vote for him because it's important that our party is in control and he will be the president, but he's not an authoritarian leader. There's checks and balances.
Exactly.
There's the Senate and the House, and all these things have to go through all of us. So don't worry. He won't willy-nilly build a wall or expel a bunch of people from the country. This will all have to be worked on together. And if you want the Supreme Court nominees that we want, and if you want the laws passed that we want, if you want this and that, focus on that if you want the guy to still get elected despite who he is. Quit just distancing yourselves. And then, I mean, it's amazing how nobody figures out the way to still own this election.
Well, that's the whole thing. And that's the issue I have personally. I'm not for him, obviously. My father is. It's very hard. You cannot get into a car. I'm 55. He's 88. It's a little hard to get into a conversation with my father, but I still can't get him to verbalize exactly what you're talking about. He dismisses a lot of these other things. And I think that a lot of people who call, like, first you think that it might even be a woman thing. Like, this is a woman's vote. No woman is going to vote for him. Well, you just had two callers that were women that clearly are voting for him, that are clearly dismissing his behavior, his words as nothing. And I think that a lot of people that are doing that, they're including he himself, which is why he's calling it frat behavior. And we know, you know, what's happening with, you know, that kid, nothing. And it's because they're lacking this empathy. They don't have empathy for anybody who could possibly be in a situation. And in his apology, he's saying that, yeah, I have daughters and I understand. No, you don't understand. And honestly, a lot of people who say they understand, unless you've actually been assaulted, you may understand a little, but there's even a tiny bit of difference between somebody who's almost been assaulted, somebody who's never been assaulted and knows somebody who's been assaulted, and somebody who's actually been assaulted.
Yeah.
Now, I've actually been assaulted as an adult, as a 50-something-year-old woman. I was date raped by somebody I knew. Very sick, very hard to even say on the air, here, hello, but it was awful. And, you know, no means no. But these people, including Donald Trump, doesn't understand the meaning of no. He says it in his words. His words 10 decades ago, like you said, when he was in his 60s or at least above 55, you know, he's not like all of a sudden he sees the light and he's changing. This is the way he thinks. And he thinks if he's a celebrity, and he thinks that he can get away with things. It's not just about the assaults and how he views women. It's about everything. It's about his tax evasion. It's about anything. He thinks he's above the law. That's what's scary.
Thank you so much for the call, Susan. I really appreciate it. And I'm sorry about what happened to you. That's a terrible thing that nobody should have to go through. But it's a fact of life in America. And we're promulgating it by being okay with this and saying it's frat boy behavior. Bell, real quick, 720 WGN. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Yeah, hi. I am 78 years old, and we are just ending our be our 60th high school reunion.
Oh, wow.
And this is a very affluent high school in the Chicago area.
Uh-oh.
Where you would expect a heavy Republican vote.
Right.
And so I said to the people in charge, let's have a secret ballot. And that's what we did this morning, because everybody, of course, knew about the tape, and that they're very interested in politics. And so we took the secret ballot, and we got 20. We got responses from about 70 people.
Okay.
And Trump 24, and Hillary got 40.
Mm.
Which was encouraging to me and my wife, and because we're
sure,
you know, disgusted with Trump.
Were there six votes for Johnson, or six abstained, or what happened with the other
yeah,
six?
Yeah, well, there was one for one of our classmates, and then there were two that chose not to put any, none of the above, and one for libertarian, and let's see, two. What, there were a couple that really it was hard to interpret what they were.
Yeah.
One of them said, "Ick."
Interesting.
Trump.
Interesting.
Well, we didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know what to make about that. Bell, I got to take a quick break. I appreciate the call. 312-981-7200. Couple minutes left. Matt Bubala in for John Williams. 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. Our last call of the day on this will have to be Mike. Mike, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good. Well, I'm going to vote for Trump. It's the lesser of two evils, and I'm probably more a libertarian than anything.
Okay.
But really what I believe is the country needs help in manufacturing. It needs a middle class. And at least he talks about it. And what he said is disgusting. I agree. But then you hear what she says in the emails that just came out, where you have to have one face for the public and one behind the door. It's the same. And with the Clintons, it's just more the same. It's just old school politics.
It is old school politics.
My man would have been Kasich. I loved Kasich.
Sure. Boy, I'll tell you what, just about anybody else you guys had on the 15-person ticket would have seemed a little more tasteful at this point. There's no doubt. Mike, when you say, though, like she says, oh, you have to have two faces, and you equated that to what he's doing. So he's joking about sexual assault. You're as upset with her about commenting on the way they run their machine, that you got to be one way in public, you got to be a different way behind the scenes. That, to me, is just being a politician. Is that really equivalent to what he's done?
Look, I think what he said was just a guy that's stupid and bragging. And that's what he is. He's a braggart. Now, when you look at his kids and what he's done, I can't imagine. I've got two kids. I own two businesses, and I've made them start in the business from the bottom and work up so that they understand the value of what we have, what we're working for. You look at his kids, he's done something right. Because when you look at other very wealthy families, whether it's the Rockefellers or the Kennedys, or you can see how money can pollute them.
Sure.
So at some point, maybe he was drunk. Maybe he's just being a blowhard. But ultimately, I do believe he wants to try to help the country. Does it help his image? At this point, it hasn't helped his image. It's probably hurt him more than helped him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Thank you, Mike. I got to get to the break here because we're going to be late for the news. I do want to say I agree with you. The image has helped him get to this point, and now it's hurting him as it gets to the end, right? I mean, that's why people fell in love and why he was able to break out from a crowd of 15. He wasn't on the teleprompter all the time. He was telling it how he felt, and that resonated with a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. And you're right. His kids have not been in jail that I know of or anything like that. So I don't know if that means he's doing something right, but I appreciate that you feel like what he's going to do for America, what the conservative movement would do for America, you feel is more powerful or more important than what the Democratic or liberal side would do. A texter had written a little while ago at 312-981-7200, what you and the liberal media just don't understand is how much mainstream America detests Hillary Clinton. I think that's what's going on here more than anything else. Joining me in the studio right now, Harry Tynowitz and Mark Carman. What's up, boys?
Matt.
Carm.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Harry.
It's here, Matt. Life is just getting better by the moment, is it not?
Game two.
You ready?
Oh, man, last night was tough.
Last night was great.
It was great, but it's tough. I was saying, I was talking to Phil Rogers earlier about it, And he was saying, you know, what a great ball game. And to somebody, I was saying, yes, but when it's your team,
yep,
it's a very tough ball game. I love a 1-0 ball game. I love a pitcher's duel. I love great defense and all the things we had last night. But when it's your team and you're dying, if that was like the Rangers-Toronto game, then great. Love that game. Last night, God, that was tough to get through.
Nail biter for sure.
Yeah.
You know, in 84, they came out and won game one 13-0.
And that Bobby Dernier leads off with a home run in the bottom of the first.
How great. We had to wait till the eighth inning last night for our home run. But, boy, it was worth the wait.
Home run that almost wasn't.
And think about this. You know, the Giants are a team that lives by the sword. That's how they won the wild card game, going into the ninth inning scoreless and putting up a three spot against.
First team that's gone 14 straight innings in the postseason without giving a run, I thought, was the stat they put up on the TV.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Just ridiculous. But they got beat at their own game last night.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about it, it's really going to like sting them more. If they had lost 13-0, they'd just like, oh, we had a bad night. But to be so close, you know, to have a guy that should have walked and he got called out on strikes in the ninth inning, it's great.
Well, I know this is stupid to even think about, but I was so worried because I didn't want Arrieta going in game three. I want Arrieta in game two. And if they would have lost last night, I would have been sitting here fretting. I love Hendricks. He had a great season. I know that. But I want Arrieta in the playoffs.
You do have to like, though, the Hendricks-Samardzija matchup along with Arrieta versus Bumgarner, right? I mean, you're matching.
Yes.
It's a little more comfortable
great
there.
Matchups.
So, although, you know, you could flip it the other way too, Matt. But why don't we just go dominate Samardzija matchup with Arrieta? But then other people will say that Hendricks has pitched better than Arrieta.
And he's pitched better at home.
I just love the idea that Matt would be fretting, because you don't get a lot of fretting anymore in 2016.
I fret often. Yes, you do. You just don't talk about it as much.
Yeah, Hendricks at home is the key. You know,
if this were
game two on the road, you can make your Arrieta case.
But when you just look at who's going out on the mound, you see big old Hendricks kind of lumbering out there, or you see Arrieta, who looks like he's about to rip somebody's face off. I want Arrieta. He's like he's like Bumgarner. He's a menace. He's scary.
These are the times to remember. I mean, we really just hope everyone's cherishing this right now, because
it's hard to cherish. It's been too long.
More Billy Joel. Billy Joel.
Like, honestly, well, can you, what do you think about going to this concert on October the 25th? I don't know. Could be game whatever of the World Series. I can't commit to that. Like, your whole life is being planned around
literally,
us now.
Literally. So my company outside, we do video production. We have to go to North Carolina for an event on November 2nd.
Oh. Was that game seven?
Seven.
Yeah.
We'd have to fly there on the first. So we would have to miss 6 and 7. We're actually looking into.
You can't do it.
Alternate video companies that we will hire and pay out of our own pocket to this event, because I'm not going to North Carolina if it's 6 and 7. I won't even be at the games, but I'm going to be here in Chicago at least.
No, the NBA is not going to North Carolina either. They moved the All-Star
game
into Orleans.
I'll just protest it. That's what I'll do.
Great excuse.
I can't attend this event. But it's against my principles.
It's true, though. You can't. Like, hey, can you come to dinner for your brother's birthday on Sunday? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I got married in 1999, and I remember my wife wanted to get married like around October 20th. And I said, no, what if the Cubs are in the World Series?
Yes.
And this is 1999. You know, this is after the 98 when they, you know, Gaetti had the great year. And my parents.
You are an optimist. That is official optimism that I can really. You're inspiring me here.
Well, at least game 6 and 7 would be weekdays. We don't have to worry about weddings getting canceled across Chicagoland. All right, boys, you want to do your show?
Yeah, sure.